Love that song. I think that might become a new favourite. Some songs just work, don't they? Great. Well, I don't know if the children have gone. Maybe they've gone already. Mary Jane's gathering them. So if you happen to be an under 11 at primary school, or then you can follow the little gang there out the back and enjoy your time this morning. Brilliant. If you've got a Bible, why don't you open it to Luke chapter 5? And I want to read this story. Is there anyone that would like to come and read it for me? Is there any volunteers that like a bit of reading? Marcus, thank you. Appreciate that. Thanks, Marcus.
Okay. I think I will pick it up. No glasses today. The first disciples. One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it is deeper and let down your net to catch some fish." "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again." And this time their nets were so full of fish that they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh, Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. Okay.
Who's heard that story before? Yes, it's pretty, I reckon only half of you put your hands up. I mean, you know, it's a classic, right? It's well known. Half term was a couple of weeks ago, wasn't it? And I finally got round to doing a job that I really should have done last summer. So you know that our son Ellis got married, and which means he's left home, so he packed up all of his stuff, and he left his room, but there was this chest of drawers that was still fairly full. But he, you know, those of you that have walked this road will know what this is like. And I kept saying since the last summer, "Oh, I'm going to move that chest of drawers up to Kezia's room, and because it's a bigger chest of drawers." And for some reason, I only got around to doing it 2 weeks ago. That either tells you that I'm really lazy, or it tells you that emotionally I just couldn't do it, or it tells you I'm too busy. You can figure that out while I'm speaking. It might be a mix of all of them. Here's the thing. I was fairly confident that I knew what was in those drawers, and I actually just thought, oh, it's just a load of old clothes that don't fit them anymore, just a load of tat. And so I began to you know, empty the drawers, and there was more in those drawers than I realized, like loads of stuff. But here's the little thing, you know, sometimes we can think we know what's in drawers. Now, I'm not about to tell you that I found £1 million or anything like that, but what I did find was just some beautiful little bits that just meant something to my heart, right? That I didn't know were in there. Some of you will relate to what I'm saying, okay? When we have a clear out, the point I'm trying to make is this. We can become so familiar with a cupboard in our house, a drawer. Oh, I know what's in there. I mean, who's got the drawer that just has everything in it? Come on, everyone's got that drawer. Do you know what's in there? Everything that you don't know where it should go. It's the everything drawer. The everything and the nothing and the like. As I emptied this chest of drawers and the job has finally been done and Ellis's room is now looking a little bit clearer and better and job done, tick. I just realized that often I approach scripture a little bit like those chest of drawers. Oh, I know this story really well. La 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 la. Get to the end, and I'm so familiar with it. I reckon that even while Marcus was reading it this morning, some of you switched off a little bit. Am I right or am I right? Yeah, thanks, Sam. You're giving me an honest nod there. That's all right. No, but I appreciate that because we do. You know, it's no offense to Marcus. It's just the truth, right? It's what we do. Our minds wander, especially if it's something that's very familiar. So come on, have you got your Bible open or have you got your phone on? Can we just together look at these 11 verses? And I really want us just to say, Lord, in fact, why don't you just pray this right now? Lord, would you help me to see something in these drawers? So there's 11 verses. This is a tall chest of drawers. Can we imagine 11 drawers? And let's just say, Holy Spirit, could you just show me something that maybe I've not seen before? Maybe I'll just find a little treasure, a little gem that I've just not seen before. So here's just my thoughts on these 11 verses. I reckon in these 11 verses, the more I've mulled on them and just read them over and over again, I think you almost could fit all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the story of Jesus, into these 11 verses. I think these 11 verses sort of encapsulate the four Gospels, and I'll show you why. Let me just pick out some things. This is a wonderful story of hope and redemption. That's the Gospel, right? This is a beautiful story that takes Peter and his friends from a place of great lack to promise overflowing. I don't know about you, but I think that is the Gospel, right? That's my story. Jesus has taken me from a place of great lack. You can say yes and amen if you want to while I'm speaking. A place of great lack to a place that is increasing in promise to overflowing. And I want to tell you this, I haven't reached home yet. Okay? Like, it's getting better and better. The Bible says that we are being changed from glory to, come on, some of you need to wake up this morning, to glory, to glory, to glory. So this is a story of great lack to great promise that's overflowing. You might not feel it right now. I have good news for you. The Gospel is not based on your feelings. Thank you, God. Seriously, I have been in seasons where I have not felt what I'm describing to you now, and I'm still standing here now. And in those seasons where I didn't feel it, I still would declare it. It was often just a faint whisper, but the declaration of my heart was, you God. I went through a season of, I didn't plan to say any of this, I'm just talking. I went through a period of probably a good 6 months. I couldn't even pray. The only thing I could do when I would just quiet myself would just go, Father. That's all I could say, one word, Father. Such was the depths of what was going on inside of me. I couldn't even formulate words. Some of you in this room know what I'm talking about. Oh, he hears the cry. He hears the cry, and he takes us from great lack to promise overflowing. And I want to also just say that the promise overflowing might not be what we define as promise overflowing, but his ways are higher than our ways. His ways are better than our ways. Somebody needs to grab this morning. Sometimes we've got to grow up and stop saying, God, it's got to be done my way, or I'm going to have a hissy fit and leave here. Or we've got to say, God, I'm going to step into what you say. This is a story of lack to promise overflowing. So it's a story. Paul talks about this. He says that faith is declaring what isn't as though it was. Okay, that's what this story is. It's declaring what isn't as though it was. That's faith. That's faith. It's a story of the miraculous. 11 verses that remind us that God is big. Do you need reminding of that this morning? Our God is a great big God. Can I tell you, you are looking at someone who is having to remind myself of that a lot. Because when we walk through difficult seasons and we've journeyed lament, and can I say that is really important, and I'm coming to that in a minute, there's a danger that we forget that God is the God of the miraculous. And we need both. And so I want to declare today, Harbour Church, this building reminds us that God is the God of the miraculous. Oh, you're quiet. And this story, these 11 verses, remind me of that. Did you notice right at the start, Jesus is in the boat and it says this. I didn't write down the verse. Is it verse 2? No, it's verse 1. Great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. Oh, when I read that, I just went, oh, I got a picture of 2023. Us, great crowds, pressing in. And I just want to say this. The word of God is the word of God. 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 Great crowds pressed in to hear his teaching. Are you pressing in right now to hear his teaching? Or are you a bit like, whatever? I'm serious here. I'm actually going to just hover here for a minute because I think there's a bit of weight on this. Great crowds pressed in. What image does that conjure up for you? I'd love a chat if this was a giant Bible study. What image? I don't know about you, but the words pressed in don't speak to me of... They don't, do they? Great crowds couldn't really be bothered, but they kind of hung around and thought, oh, whatever, whatever. Great crowds, come on, say it with me. Pressed in. Pressed in. When was the last time you wrestled with God? Because that's a good thing to do, okay? Healthy. And you pressed in to the word of God to say, I want to dig into this. It's very quiet in this room. Great crowds pressed in. I think we're living in a day and age, friends, where we've got to learn what it is to press in to the word of God like never before. So you're looking at someone right now, and this isn't only because I'm choosing to study. This is way more than that. This isn't actually about studying or not. This is about a longing in the heart that says, God, I want to press in. I want to press in because I'm hearing this here, this here, this here, this here. I'm going to press in to what you are saying, Lord Jesus. Can somebody say amen to what I'm saying? All right. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the divine teacher always. And so I want to encourage you. I want to encourage us, Harbour Church. Can we be a people who know the word of God? Another conversation that I had, you'll be aware that I have lots of conversations with different people. I had a conversation with somebody just recently who literally was just saying this. And this person has been to Bible college. They would be somebody that you'd go, oh, they really know their Bible. And they just said, I've got to start really reading it again. I've got to really reading it again. God, I want to press in. I want to press in to what you're saying. In these 11 verses, we see the teaching of Jesus and crowds pressing in. You see discipleship here. The story ends with Jesus saying, come follow me, and they leave everything and they follow him. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. When did you say yes to Jesus? Can you remember? Come follow me, he says. Okay. I don't really know what it means, but okay, I'll say yes. That's what we see in these 11 verses. We see the story of Peter and the revelation that he had, and the revelation drew him to repentance that took him to renewal, that restored him. There's so many other re's that you could put in there. This story, 11 verses, shows us what it is to have a revelation of you are Jesus, and I'm going to follow you, and I'm going to repent of my sins. The other thing that I see in this drawer, as I'm pulling out the drawers of chapter 5 in this book of Luke, I see a wonderful picture of the church. Can you see it? Have you spotted it? Can you see a description of the church right there? I could wait for somebody to call it out. Do you see it? Have a look. It describes the church. It says this. Right at the end, it says this. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. What a beautiful picture of the church. In other words, I need you and you need me. A great shout for help. Thank God for this beautiful picture of the church that we see in Luke chapter 5 in these 11 verses. Church, we need one another. We need one another. Don't attempt to do this life on your own. Gareth's already been preaching about that this month, so I don't want to say much more about that. The spirit of independence that is so of the world, and we mustn't make it part of the church, because the church is the opposite of that. The church is codependent. You need me and I need you. The church and the picture we see here is when I'm in lack and I'm struggling, a call for help. Will you come and help me? Does it hurt my pride to ask for help? Yeah. Yeah, come on, anyone else? Like, oh, I can do it on my own. That's such a British thing. That's not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a call for help. Will you come and help me? And I want to declare that we will enter into days where there are so many fish that we need one another for the fish. There's a sharing thing here. This wasn't Peter going there. My fish, it was my miracle. I mean, you know, we get like that sometimes. Well, God blessed me. This was my miracle. No, it was our miracle together. An independent spirit says, well, this was mine, this was my blessing, and I'm going to keep my blessing over here all to myself. That's not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is, look what the Lord has done. Come and share it together. Bring and share lunch. I'll bring the crisps, Miri. You knew I was going to say that. That's my contribution, always. What a picture of church. A cry for help brought them. And the last thing is I've already mentioned it. This is, I think, quite a powerful story of lament. I'm going to come on to that, so I won't hover on that too much. That's going to come into my next bit. But I think there's so much we can learn in these 11 verses about how we speak to Jesus and how he speaks to us. So that's my overview as we pull the drawers out. And I have two things that I just want to highlight for us. First thing is this. Jesus asks these guys to do again the very thing that they had already been doing. He asks them to do again. Would you say those words with me? Do again. Because really my point is do again. He asks them to do again, and I want you to grab this, the very thing that they were exhausted from. The very thing that had discouraged them. The very thing that had proved unsuccessful. But Lord, we've been fishing all night. Yeah, I know, says Jesus. Just do it again. But I'm so tired and I'm so worn out. I know. Just do it again. But I'm an expert fisherman. You're not, Jesus. I know. Would you get over yourself and just do it again? But God, it didn't work last time. I know. And it didn't work the time before that. And it didn't work the time before that. And God, did you see? Can you hear the lament? God, did you not see? I saw. But I'm asking you, would you do it again? And this message has been weighing on my heart for the last couple of weeks. And I've just felt the Lord say, church, it's time to do some things again. It's time to do some things again. But Lord, we tried that, I know. But will you do it again? Let me explain a little bit more about what I mean. You see, I think that it would have been much easier if Jesus had said to these guys, I've got a new job for you to do. But I just think that would have been much easier. Hey, I know you're tired, have a bit of food, and then let's go and do another job and you'll see a miracle there. But he doesn't do that, and so often we're forever going, God, do the new thing, do the new thing, do the new thing. He's saying to them, that thing that you've already been doing, do it again. Do it again. This isn't something new or something fresh or something exciting. So often that's our answer. Well, that didn't work, so I'm going to just try something new. Anyone brave enough to admit that? Well, that failed, so I'm not going to do that again. Well, I had a conversation with them once, and it didn't work. I'm not talking to them again. Well, they really hurt me that time, so why should I go back to them and do it again? No, I'm going to find someone new. Jesus says the very thing that's actually caused you some pain, the very thing that actually you're so tired and exhausted from, do it again. Do it again. If there's another familiar chest of drawers in the Bible, it would be Hebrews 11. We call it the chapter of faith. Okay. So familiar. As soon as I say it, you go, oh, yeah, I know that one. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you can list off all the different people. The chapter of faith. The thing about the chapter of faith, which is full of the miraculous, is that it is sandwiched chapter 10, chapter 12. And I don't have time this morning to read you the verses, but if you were to go away and press in to the teaching of Jesus, did you notice what I did there? Press in. Thank you. Some of you are awake. Chapter 10 and chapter 12 is full of verses to persevere, to be faithful, to endure. Literally packed. Chapter 10, there's even one of those little titles, A Call to Persevere. Chapter 10 and chapter 12 are just full of encouragement. In fact, in chapter 12, Hebrews 12, verse 12, one of my favorite Bible verses, it says this, so take a new grip with your tired hands. Strengthen your knees and keep going. Take a new grip with your tired hands. Strengthen your knees. Some of you need to hear that. Strengthen your knees and keep going. And I think that's so amazing that this wonderful, miraculous faith chapter, Hebrews 11, that we all go, yeah, and teach in Sunday school, and it's all brilliant, and all the films come from chapter 11. You don't get many films from chapter 10 and chapter 12. You get all the good stories in chapter 11, but chapter 11 would not happen without chapter 10 and chapter 12. That is a story of just do it again. What are some of the things we need to do again? I want to tell you, we need to love again. We need to pray again. We need to give again. We need to, this is difficult, forgive again. How many times did Jesus say? Yeah, I can hear some of you saying it, and we all go, oh, not that one, Jesus. I'll tear that page out because I don't like that one. And Jesus says, would you just do it again? But Jesus, I'm tired of doing it. I've done it all night. And he says, I know you have. I know you have. But would you just do it again? The Bible speaks about us serving again. So don't get weary in well doing. And some of you have become weary in well doing. And even in your minds over the last few years, you've said, I've done that. I've done that. I'm not going to do it again. And this morning, the Spirit of God wants to say, would you just do it again? Would you just do it again? I know that you feel like for years you've labored in an area and it hasn't worked, but I'm asking you this morning, would you just do it again? Would you break bread again? We're going to break bread soon. Jesus says, would you do this again and again and again and again until the end? Why do we do this every week in Harbor Church? Because we do it again and again. Don't get tired of this. This isn't a religious ritual. We do it again and again and again. We worship again. We worship again. We meet together again in the book of Hebrews again, chapter 12, or maybe it's 13, I forget now. It says, so don't forget to meet together. Don't forsake it. Don't give up on it. But keep on meeting together. Meeting together. Meeting together, do it again and again and again. We read God's word again. We show mercy again and again. What am I describing to you? I'm describing spiritual habits, spiritual ways of living that cause us to step into the presence of God, that cause us to know his voice, that cause us to know his heart. And these things cause us to grow. I'm going to move on because the clock's ticking. Second thing that I just want to grab from these 11 verses is that Jesus says this to them, go out into the deep. Go out into the deep. Have you ever said this, maybe you've even said it this week, over a situation, a relationship, something at work, something at home, I don't know what it might be, it could be a mental thing, an emotional thing, physical, and you said this, God, I've really got to dig deep for this one. You ever said that? Walking into a room, you're going to have a conversation with someone. Oh, come on, Sarah. Got to dig deep for this one. Don't worry, I don't say that about any of you. Don't worry about it. It happens, right? It happened to me on Friday. I had a very lengthy Zoom conversation. I had to dig deep for it. We have those things. Oh, God, I've got to dig deep. Got to dig deep. The ongoing, the everyday. Is there something right now that you're just having to go digging deep? There is in my life. And I know there is in yours because you're alive. There's certain things, certain, it could be people and it could be a thing. And daily, some of you daily, I almost can see you now weeping before God, saying, God, I'm tired. I'm having to dig deep for this. I want you to know God hears your cry. Psalm 130, the psalmist says, God, from the depths of despair, you hear me. And I want to just speak over you right now. Whatever it is you're having to dig deep for, Jesus says, in that place that you're digging deep, the miraculous will happen. And can I tell you, the miraculous wasn't just a load of fish. The miraculous was a life transformed because Peter met Jesus. And when you remain in the place where you have to dig deep, but your eyes are on Jesus, you say, God, this is costing me. It's costing me emotionally. It's costing me mentally. It's costing me physically. God, there is a cost to this. I'm digging deep. He says, I see it. I see it. And the miraculous will happen where you're digging deep. Put your nets into the deep water. Don't faff around in the shallow. Go into the deep. Go into the depths. And in the deep place, that's where the real treasure is. Some of you are just saying, well, aren't I feeling God? Are you in the deep place? In the deep place, do you know, in the deep places of my life is where I most experience God's presence and God's power. And I don't think I'm alone in that. Jesus' command is this, would you do it again? I don't want anyone to leave here this morning thinking that I'm saying all the stuff that you hate, you've just got to keep doing it again. That's not what I'm saying. If God tells you to do it again. But the things that I have listed are the things God says do it again. Okay? I want to just make that clear. So if there is something that you're struggling with, I'm not saying to you, you just got to stick at it. No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying the things that God has called us to, we need to do again. And I listed them. Love, pray, give, forgive, serving, breaking bread, worship, meeting together, reading the word, showing mercy. There's probably more I haven't listed. The things that God says, do it again. And I don't know about you, but I've been a Christian for quite a while now. They're the things that get contested. Am I the only one? They're the things that the enemy hates me doing. They're the things I actually have to battle over. It's funny that. I never have a battle over whether I watch Netflix. Never. There's just never a battle. Oh, Big Mac and chips, telly. Nah, there's no battle for that. Yeah, I'm in. There's no battle. There's just no battle. There's no battle over whether I... You know what? Sometimes I'm tempted to be a bit manipulative. Not always tell the truth. Not really a battle over that. Funny that, isn't it? But Sarah, you need to tell the truth now. Ooh, the battle. Am I the only one? So let's not kid ourselves. Like, you know, this stuff that I'm just listing, that's where the battle is. Why is the battle there? Because that's the place. That's the spiritual ground. It's a bit ouchy now, isn't it? Why don't you just give us popcorn and Coke? Make it all happy, Sarah. And so this message this morning isn't, do it again, do it again. It's not that. It's Jesus saying the things that will give you life, come and do them again. But oh, there'll be a battle for it. There'll be a battle. But did you notice Peter's words? Because you say so. Because you say so. Dave, would you come up? Is that okay? Because you say so. I've got a few more notes, but I'm gonna leave it. I'm gonna go off piste a minute. I have been loving, and I don't say that lightly, reading and watching and observing over the last month what God has been doing in Asprey, in America with these students, and just a move of God that's just been happening. And the reason I don't say that lightly is because I'm not the kind of personality that jumps on everything that I see on social media or on the news and gets all super excited about it. In fact, I confess to almost having a bit of the opposite in me. I can sometimes... or maybe I should be careful what I say. Anyway, I'm just saying, I'm not necessarily one to, all in. I'm not like that. I have sometimes some caution in me, okay? And if you want to know why, that come and talk to me, have a cup of tea with me, and it's probably the same reason that you do, because life, right? Life. I think that's enough to say, just life and experience, right? And there's something to be said for that. We need to have wisdom. Now, it might be that as I say some of this stuff, you go, well, that's not been my experience. Well, come and chat to me, because I'm fascinated. I'm always open to learn, always open to learn. Always open to learn, okay? Let's always just engage in conversation with each other. But I have loved what I've been watching, and I've watched a lot. And the reason I've loved it is because, if you don't know, on a university campus in America, at a chapel service midweek that they just all go to because they just do it again. Somebody might have picked up on what I just said there. They just go to chapel because they just do it again. You've come to church this morning because you've just done it again. Do you know what God does when we do again and again and again? He turns up. Aaron, that's just it. And I have just been floored in here going, God. And we sing songs that say, Lord, do it again, do it again. You know, we don't actually sing it here. And please don't think I'm saying all this stuff's bad. I'm not. But I was reflecting on it in the week. I forget the name of the song. Walking around these walls, one day they'll fall. God, would you do it again? Do you know why those walls fell? Because they did it again and again and again and again and again. And sometimes we have the kind of faith that comes to God and says, God, would you just do it again? Do it again, Lord. And we know what we mean by that. And I pray prayers like that. Lord, I saw you move then. Would you do it again? But I've just been carrying this thing in my heart as if God is saying, Sarah, will you do it again? Will you do again? Will you do again? Will you be faithful? Will you endure? Will you press in? And as you do again, you will meet me there. Because the kind of faith that I walk and live in isn't one that just says, God, over to you. Yes, my salvation is over to him, but there is an effort on my part. And if you want to talk about that with me over tea, I would gladly talk about you, because there is, the Bible says it, the crowds pressed in. And I fear that we have adopted a faith of, God, you do it. And he's going, will you get your nets and put them into the deep place? And will you pray again? Will you give again? Will you forgive again? Will you love again? Will you serve again? Will you show mercy again? Will you do again and again and again and again the things that matter to God and his kingdom and his righteousness? And all these things will be added to you. Isn't that the words of Jesus? Seek me first. And so my message this morning is, church, let's do it again. And the good thing is, I'm looking at a bunch of people that are doing it again. You could almost say to me, we are, Sarah. And I'd go, I know we are. Brilliant. So let's keep on doing it again and again and again. So what about these students at Asbury? I heard the principal interviewed. I probably feel like he's become my new best bud. I've listened that much to it. And he just said, we were just doing again what we've always done. We were just doing it again. But this time, there was something different. Jesus says to the disciples as he goes into heaven, go and wait in Jerusalem. Day one, day two, day three. Oh, we're bored now. Just do it again. Just do it again. Just do it again. And as you wait, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. There is something about us just doing things again. What I've loved, and I would encourage all of us just to go and do a little bit of reading around what God's been doing with these students. I love the humility that is behind what God's doing there. There's no name, there's no celebrity. It's not about that. God, forgive us. We repent of all of that. There's none of that. I could talk so much about that. Do you know what makes me immediately go, this is a real move of God? Because the key to it is repentance. So show me your revivals. The heart is repentance. And if there's not repentance, it's not revival. It's not a move of God. Every move of God is repentance. And that's what these students have been doing, 18 to 25-year-olds, on their knees, repenting. And not just repenting before God, but with one another. So do you know how this started? They finished their chapel service, and it just most of them left, and a few of them stayed behind. It'd be like this little gang here, just staying behind. And they just started to confess to one another their sin. I love that. Do you know why I love it? Because the book of James says, confess your struggles, your faults, however, confess to one another, and you'll be healed. Well, that sounds a bit Catholic, confessional. It sounds scriptural to me. Who's not to say that as I confess, be wise in this, but who's not to say that as I confess to Jordan, because out of relationship and trust, wisdom, don't abuse what I'm saying today, but out of trust and relationship and maturity, there's deep confession, and out of confession comes miraculous healing. That's called a move of God. And I watch these students, and I see it happening. And so a few of them gathered, and they began to just confess to one another. And the Holy Spirit just began to move, and others just came, and the worship just didn't stop. It just didn't stop. It just didn't stop. And the worship wasn't anything like we've got this morning. One little person on a guitar. There was no screens, no amplification, no lights, nothing, 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 no celebrity, nothing but God. Can we just present ourselves before God this morning? However you just want to do that. Come on. God. 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 God, how we need you. As we break bread, the table represents so many things. But I want this morning to be a table of consecration. Where we this morning come and say, Lord, I'm coming to you again. I'm coming to you again. I'm coming to you again. In fact, let's do that. I'm going to invite you to come forward. So Pete, Gareth, I don't know if you can help me. Josh, can you help? Is that right? We're just going to stand along here and almost even in the quietness, it's okay. Let's just come and consecrate ourselves. And just grab the stuff and let's just place ourselves around. Okay. John, do you mind just coming? Is that right? I want us just to allow the table to be a place of consecration. Lord, I want to do again. I want to do it again. I commit myself to you again. I choose to honor you again. I love you again. I'm going to serve you again. I just want to invite you just to come. Just come whenever you feel you want to. And let's just, in this sacred moment, commit ourselves to God again. Is that okay? So we're just in this atmosphere of consecration, and some of you still coming forward to the table. I want to just quietly read out some of these things that we're going to do again, and I just want to invite you to commit yourself to the Lord again. Say, Lord, with your help and your strength, I'll do it again. Peter said, because you say so. Because you say so. Lord Jesus, because you say so, I'll love again. Lord Jesus, because you say so, I'll pray again. Lord Jesus, because you say so, I'll give again. Lord Jesus, because you say so, as hard as it is, I'll forgive again. Lord Jesus, I'm tired, I'm weary, I feel like I haven't seen much fruit for my labor. But because you say so, I'll serve again. Lord Jesus, I commit myself today again to be with a community of believers that break bread again, that worship you again, that meet together again. A community of believers that read your word again. The church of Jesus Christ that show mercy and grace and bring justice again. At this table of consecration, we commit again to do that which has brought some discouragement, brought weariness. Caused us to doubt you. In this place today, Lord Jesus, we hear the call to faithfulness and we will do it again. We together say amen. Amen. We'll do it again. We'll do it again. Thank you for listening again. Thank you for being here again. I really mean that. I'm not being facetious. I really mean it. Like, thank you. Thank you. We keep showing up, right? Again. Doing what he tells us to do. And I don't know about you, but I'm more and more expectant for a great load of fish. Yeah? Because God is a God of the miraculous. So Holy Spirit, as I finish now, I ask you, we ask you, come on, can we ask God? We ask you, Lord, that we would see the miraculous. See you at work in ways that can only bring honor and glory to you, because no human could do it, but it's the miraculous. We believe you, Jesus. We believe you. You're all powerful, all knowing, almighty God. With you, nothing is impossible. And so you take our lack and you turn it into overflowing promise and supply. Lord Jesus, I want to release a gift of faith into Harbour Church this morning, into this community that you've placed us with, that we will see the power of God at work. The psalmist said, I believe I will see the goodness of the Lord while I'm still alive. Well, you're looking at someone that's still got a bit of breath in their body, and I want to see it. Anyone else? I want to see it. His kingdom come. Right, Pat. Heaven and earth. His kingdom come. His will be done. God bless you again and again and again. Thanks, Dave.